I've been myself working for almost 6 years for Deutsche Telekom, which is also a very large corporation. And when I was working for them, we had a large scandal in 2008 where the security unit was actually spying on their own employees. In fact, they were investigating or in a mole hunt because strategic information was leaked to the outside, to journalists. And so they used their own telecommunications data to find out who was talking to who. This can end up in something like this. And I think this is exactly what your job will be now to make not happen within Telenor. And so I'm very excited to learn more about it.
Thanks, Laura. Let's see. I think I'll move this out of the way. So thanks for the invitation to this lecture. We discussed a bit back and forth things to discuss. I have two hats today, being an associate professor with HIG and also being then employed by Telenor working on security. Laura made the decision that we wanted a business perspective today, so that's what I will be providing. So hopefully that will be of value to you as students and staff. And I certainly know from experience that working both with academia and business gives a lot of good insight and opportunities for research and innovation. So today I will talk about, I put the title, Cybersecurity from a Global Perspective. Telenor has a great sort of viewpoint on the world, being a global company operating in a lot of countries, 13 countries with mobile operations. And we see the security threats and risks from the various perspectives of the group. What I will provide you with today is more of my perspective from the position. So of course this is not Telenor's official position on security. It's more about experiences learned, and I want to share some of those stories with you. But before we get started, I would like to get a little bit of start engaging with you a little bit. So when I say cybersecurity, what are your main associations? I see a big smile here. Blue scarf. Firewalls, Trojans, malware, etc. It's quite a technical perspective. Could we make it a bit broader? It's right, but it maybe it doesn't cover everything, at least not from a corporate perspective. Anyone else? Yeah. Yeah. Protecting digital stuff, and one more. Threat actors on a global level in a virtual world. Yeah, so that sounds like a title for a possible thesis. Good. And what is Telenor? Anyone wants to summarize what Telenor is? I will tell you afterwards, but I'd like to hear what your perspectives are. Cellular network? A cellular network? Anyone else? Communication and entertainment provider as well. We are in particular in Norway. Anyone else? Telenor is one of the largest mobile operators in the world. It used to be the Norwegian telecom company only. It was founded about 160 years ago, so it's quite a mature company. We have, however, 192 million mobile subscribers today. That's quite a jump from the population in Norway of approximately 5 million people. And the reason for this is the growth that we've had mainly in Asia, but also in Central Eastern Europe. So Telenor has taken quite an aggressive growth strategy and expanded into growth markets in Asia. The latest one being Telenor Myanmar, which was launched last year in a country that's pretty much has not had access to mobile services or digital services in the past. And we had immense growth in that market. We have 33,000 employees across the group, and we're present in markets with 1.3 billion people. Again, a little bit bigger than Norway alone. So from a security perspective, and that's what we're talking about today, and not about Telenor as a company, culture and expectation to security are quite different in the different regions. We probably know Norway, Sweden and Denmark quite well. What's our main concerns when it comes to cybersecurity? Privacy? Is it? Yeah. Vulnerability? Availability, yeah. So maybe that goes to the critical infrastructure perspective, being available and not and protecting our critical infrastructure. Anyone else? Yeah. Identity theft. This maybe relates somehow to privacy. Okay, I think these are good points. What do you believe about Central Eastern Europe? Hungary, Serbia, Montenegro, and Bulgaria. Corruption, that's certainly a possibility. Anything else? Bit of a different security culture coming from a very different political background than Northern Europe for sure. So that also comes into place. But of course, let's say the corruption indexes of the world look very different for some of these countries compared to Northern Europe. And then we move on to Asia, mostly for Telenor, a prepaid market, meaning you buy the SIM card, you pay upfront for calling. Very competitive market and very cost-focused. What do you think the security concerns are in this market? Yeah. Corruption is mentioned again. Anyone else? Yeah. Access control and censorship is mentioned. So different political systems than Europe. Private information, maybe as well, and cross-border information flow is an issue. One thing that's coming up in that we know is an issue in Asia is the fraud dimension, because people are so sensitive to the cost of services that they're willing to go quite far to use the services for free, or to use someone else's subscription, or to earn money from, or steal money essentially from companies. So that's a particular concern for Asia. It's a concern in Europe as well, but for Asia that's a focus area. So that's a little bit about Telenor. From a security perspective, it's very important for me that security is a part of the business. It's not something on the side. I have to stand here. Here. You mentioned something about a story where security had been acting a bit, let's say, outside the business premises. Security has to support the business in every way, enable the company strategy. And that's why I'm putting this up. Telenor's vision is empower societies. We provide the power of digital communication, enabling everyone to improve their lives. build societies and secure a better future for all. So that's then the overall mandate also for security. So moving on, just take a look at this. We talked a little bit about what Telenor is today, but Telenor is moving into new areas of business. Financial services, classified services, we are doing machine to machine and Internet of Things, and this is to investigate and to find new ways of revenue to grow in other dimensions than just geographically approaching new markets. This is necessary for any technology company, as the competition in legacy technology will be tougher and tougher. Now, what do we get when we move into areas like this? More problems. And what sort of problems do we get? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any examples you can think of? Mm-hmm. And you need those experts because what sort of things could you imagine being the challenges? Yeah, that's one. I'll show you a few examples afterwards, but of course in Internet of Things, physical security and information security starts merging. When you do financial services on your mobile phones, then fraud really becomes a much bigger issue, and the challenges become more complex. The risk picture is changing quite dramatically. So that's a consequence of the strategy moving into new services. So I'll give you a bit of some stories as a background on actually showing that security is becoming and must be a very strategic perspective for a company like Telenor. We had a wake-up call in Telenor in Norway in 2013, where we had a computer intrusion event in Norway, targeting top management in Telenor or members of top management. And we lost information. We lost emails, we lost sensitive files and data. And we did a lot of work, this was before my time, but Telenor did a lot of work in investigating it. And there was a decision to report it to the police and to be transparent to the degree that we shared investigation reports openly. But this created an understanding that security must be addressed at a strategic level, and you need the competency to be able to respond to something like this. A targeted attack with attackers willing to invest in stealing information from the company. Something similar happened in Belgacom, Belgian telecom firm, in 2013. This was an Edward Snowden leak, and there was then published information that Belgacom had been compromised by GCHQ, so this is a claim by Edward Snowden, and that they had targeted the infrastructure of the company. So that's another story, another wake-up call that telecoms are targeted, both by criminal actors, but also by government actors. In Norway, we've seen a lot of attention to cybersecurity over the last last year, I would say, starting in December with attention on fake mobile base stations that were claimed to by Aftenposten to have been placed in Oslo around some of our most critical organizations, Stortinget, the government buildings, and so on. Now, this created a sense that it was very easy to do surveillance on Norwegians and Norwegian stakeholders and people in power. But afterwards, we've seen a lot of discussions on whether this was actually the case or not. So I will not then provide any answers today. But that created a very intense dialogue, headline news again. In February, we saw a similar article in Aftenposten referring to SS7 mobile network security vulnerabilities. SS7 is the basic signaling protocol in most of our mobile systems. There is a set of known vulnerabilities in that technology. It's old legacy technology. It can be addressed, mitigated, but the errors are still there in the underlying technology. One of the things that can be done in vulnerable systems is to do geo-tracking, geolocation, following a certain individual and the position geographically where they are located. So that's obviously something we are uncomfortable with. And this raises a need for these vulnerabilities to be addressed by the telecom companies. As you will see, then, this is technology used by all the telecom companies, not just Telenor. So it's very much an industry issue. So we're working closely with GSMA, which is the common organization that owns the standards for mobile network protocols. And then we have to work with all the other telecoms in order to address these vulnerabilities as best we can. So that's an important stream of work, and it's also then important to inform the media and our audience that these vulnerabilities are there. It's possible, but it's being addressed and mitigated to the furthest extent. We had another case in February, the Great SIM Heist, another Edward Snowden leak, so meaning this is a claim, not a proven fact. But this was addressed at Gemalto, one of the biggest mobile or SIM card providers in the world. The SIM cards is, of course, one of the most secure components on your mobile cell mobile devices. And it contains your authentication factors and the identity for your subscription. So it's very personal. And it's used to encrypt the communication between your phone and the mobile network. So in this case, then, again, government actors were accused by Edward Snowden to have targeted Gemalto for an attack, with the aim of stealing their master encryption keys, making it theoretically possible to decrypt and wiretap information from mobile networks. Starting to look at this sounds extremely dangerous, of course, and when you start looking into it, there is of course a lot of difficulties in launching an attack like this. But it's important then for, again, GSMA and the mobile industry to consider what the vulnerabilities actually are, what's the status of mitigations, and what needs to be done to address it as an industry. So these are some stories that have all been on front page news in the largest newspapers in Norway. And we have the same in Germany, as we saw, and any other country in the world. So meaning this is putting cybersecurity very much on the agenda in the boards of board of directors of companies and the top management functions. So this, what I showed you, is a bit of history. I just also want to look a little bit forward. And I had the pleasure of going to Black Hat this year. And it was it's always an interesting affair. What I saw this year was that there is a new type of stories out there compared to what I've seen before. And I put up some pictures here, but could anyone help me on what the sort of main trends are? Yeah. Hacking physical objects. Anyone else? Yeah. Surveillance. Yeah. Anyone else? I'd like to sort of pinpoint more hacking physical objects. What does that relate to technology-wise? Yeah. The physical devices are connected, right? So that's the key. It's the Internet of Things, if you will, as a concept. You had a comment as well? Yeah, everything has a full-featured computer inside it. It's not just limited to some very small set of features. Good. So I'll mention some of these stories because I think it really demonstrates how physical and information security now integrates fully, and it's hard to separate it. So this is a Chrysler car. It's a Jeep Cherokee. 1.4 million cars were recalled based on this vulnerability disclosure, and the car was remotely exploitable over the Sprint mobile network, and it was possible to hack into the entertainment system, and from the entertainment system it was possible to connect the control system of the car. So if you have control of the control system in the car, you can accelerate, you can brake, and disconnect manual controls. It's a bit of a bad combination. And this car, it was demonstrated, was then driven into out of the road in this manner. It's a good way of showing the combined set of vulnerabilities that we see in the Internet of Things. It's possible to connect to the car, hack into the entertainment system, and then hack into the control system. The second one, that's an Android phone, if you wonder, made by Google. And we had a vulnerability early this year, stage fright, leading to 1 billion, or I think the number is 950 million phones having a need for patching and upgrades. 950 million phones being vulnerable potentially to a remote exploit by, for instance, MMSs that could take over your phone. So quite serious. It impacts everyone, including the telecom operators. And it's, of course, a very costly affair for everyone involved in the Android ecosystem to patch and fix this bug. Another example is satellite systems. So there was a reference to Globalstar and the spot emergency responders, making it possible, if you look at satellite traffic in general, you can decode it and potentially send your own messages with someone else's identity, referring to identity theft, putting in whatever geographic location you wanted. We see that the protection is not as good as we would want it to be for critical infrastructure. This rifle, it's a bit of a strange story, but this rifle is equipped with Wi-Fi to upload movies to Facebook because it's a sport. No, you can connect both ways, right? So it was a demonstration that it was possible to also connect the other way, and you can make the aim show something else than it was aiming on. So that sort of blurs the distinction, again, between physical and information security. And the plane is for home reading, home studies, so I'm not going to go in depth on that one. But of course, it's the same problems that you see in the aviation industry. Everyone familiar with all of these stories already? Some people are, some are not. Good. When we work with security at a global level, you look at some global indicators. The World Economic Forum is a very known source for global risks, and they have technology risks that, non-surprisingly, are increasing every year. We have three ones listed here. Critical information infrastructure breakdown. Someone up here mentioned availability in the introduction. We have cyber attacks, which was also mentioned. And we have data fraud or theft, which we also touched upon. So these are areas of major concern, sort of classes of risks that we need to address. These call for a business response from the industry. And I'm just going to take some examples of how companies can contribute to this from Telenor and how it's made available in the open. So in 2013, a year where you see a lot happened, we had a cybersecurity exercise at Telenor, Cyber Dawn, which was in collaboration with the government, military, police, banks, and other actors. And it is a way of training and on a virtual simulated cyber crisis. It's important to be aware that these things can happen and to train the organizations on how to act when something happens, but also in how to cooperate with other agencies or other companies. And we see that in every whenever we have a serious incident, then coordination between large actors in society is a very tough problem. And training can help you break down those walls. The second one, that's a bit of an obvious one, cyber attacks. So one of the obvious attack vectors, if you want to have a targeted attack on someone, is to approach their phones. The phone has a microphone, it has a camera, it has email, and a lot of sensitive information, and everyone is carrying it. And then combined with something like this, that makes that an attractive attack vector. So the mobile operators, including Telenor, are then seeing an opportunity in developing business on protecting your phone, making sure that it has some protection mechanisms in place, maybe doing malware scanning, maybe doing back-end security measures on analyzing traffic and detecting malicious traffic. So that's an obvious area where telecoms can step in to address cyber attacks. And then the third one is data fraud or theft. That's very often addressed as a privacy concern, of course, by the industry. And it's expected from companies to have a clear position and a clear policy on how they process personal data. So that's a very important concern as well. Just in continuation of that, looking at the security function itself, this is the external part of the company. Look at the security functions. It's my belief that it's critical for security to be proactive towards the business side and not be an internal function that's following their own agenda. So it is a business function. One of the main concerns is to get security on the agenda at the top levels in the company. So seeing that security is strategic risks with the World Economic Forum, with the headlines that I showed you, it has to be on the high on the agenda with the company as well. And that requires leadership, and that requires setting a clear strategy for security. The second one is the organization understanding security risks and opportunities. If you want to address the stories that I told you, want to address the risks that I showed you, then clearly you have to the organization as a whole has to understand it, the business side has to understand it in order to be able to develop relevant products, for instance, mobile security services. And then the last one, not least one, maybe the most important one, actually, are we leveraging the people in the organization? And one of my old managers claimed that security is 80% people, culture, and 20% technology. So I'm not going to dispute it or support it here. I'm a technologist by heart. I think technology is important. But there is no security if you're not able to have collaboration on the security areas within the companies, between the business side, communication side, operations side, and the security side. And you have to raise awareness for the entire company to know what to do in security relevant situations, know how to process information, know how to store information, and know in the end what not to say and say when they're sitting at a cafe discussing business. So all these aspects comes into play as well, and it is, let's say, the bottom line of security. So leadership and strategy, security risks, and awareness and collaboration are, I think, the three main levers levels that we need to operate at. So I think it's time for me to wrap up, to give some time for questions and closing up. Just like to summarize before I leave the word to you. First of all, is that the cybersecurity area has a lot of attention. You see it in the media. You see it with the European Union. It's on the agenda in all the strategic arenas. There are quite a lot of fairly novel threats and vulnerabilities. We see that the world is changing dramatically, both in terms of the volume of attacks, but also the vulnerabilities that we see, for instance, related to Internet of Things. This is changing the picture quite immensely as we speak. And then finally, it's the role of the businesses, including telecoms, to step up and take responsibility by developing relevant security functions, but also developing security products for the end users and for the businesses that we serve. So with that, I think I'll take a few questions. Yeah. We clearly have to think about it, and I showed you earlier our privacy position, and I think this is a very difficult area, right? Because we operate within the legal boundaries in every country that we operate in, any multinational does. So we have to follow laws and regulations locally, but you also have to be transparent in order to build trust. So the key to this is transparency and being able to tell what you are doing as a company and what regulations and laws you are adhering to in every country.
I just want to say, like, those of you that are online, I also take questions by email. So, but let's start first now with those that are here in.
We had a question.
Okay.
That I cannot tell, but I can tell that both are very relevant scenarios.
Sophie?
Yeah, on the top right.
Oh, no. Ladies first.
Oh. Yeah, so ensuring that your particular preferences in what country you want the data to be in, ensuring that perspective is very hard for a large multinational. But I think the key to for every company, and this is getting stricter and stricter, is to have very strong controls on where the data is residing and where the data is being processed. And in particular for personal information in Europe, that's being very heavily regulated, meaning that you have to have the process in place, contracts with vendors and sub-vendors, and you need to have full control of where the data is residing. So I think that's the primary way of addressing it. But cross-border... Yeah, but what you can do as a consumer is to choose a company which has a policy, privacy policy that suits your needs, I guess. Yeah, I can't go into details on that particular case apart from what you can find in the report itself. But I'll just underline it's critical for any company to have strong monitoring and detection to be able to detect attempts like this. It's getting increasingly complex, but it's a capability that has to be in place. Could you repeat the question? So if the breach is related to personal information, so if it's customer data, there are requirements for reporting. But if it's related to business information, it's a choice up until now. It's a choice that the company makes it themselves on whether to report it or not. I don't have the details here, so there are nuances. So I'm not going to go into those details. But in principle, it's you report it when there are privacy breaches. No, I didn't. I said that it's possible to do so. Yeah. Yeah, I think this is an opportunity to provide services related to protecting security, but traditionally it's not been perceived as part of the responsibility of the telecoms. Yeah, so as I said earlier, I was not part of the organization or the security organization at that point in time, so I was not involved in that incident process. But your question was whether it's hard to work with the police or not. Yeah, I have a lot of experience. I have worked in the police for multiple years in Kripos and Økokrim. So, but let's take those discussions offline. Yeah.
I guess that was the political correct answer. And any more questions? The good news and there's the bad news. The bad news is that Andre will not teach this year's digital forensics class, but therefore you can ask open questions anything you want. So, it's only a few. Yes.
Yeah, could you repeat the question? Yeah. I think what I'm trying to do in the presentation is to look a bit forward. So this is an area where we see a lot of vulnerabilities, and Telenor is involved in Internet of Things, and we have a research unit working in the security area and also related to Internet of Things. So this is an important area going forward. But it's not something that's productified today, obviously, since it's really in the bleeding edge of things. Yeah, so I'm just saying it's an important area. So your point is good.
Okay, I think our time is up. So I'm only left with two more pieces of information. Next week there will be another NIST seminar, Using Prediction Markets to Hedge Information Security Risk. I guess that could be also interesting for Telenor maybe in the future. And then the next NIST lecture end of October will be replaced by the SecuredNOC conference. And we have Vidar Helgesen, I hope that's correctly pronounced, minister at the Office of the Prime Minister and EU in Ministry of Affairs. And we have the Major General Odd Egil Pedersen. He's the Chief of the Cyber Defense Norwegian Armed Forces. So I think that's very interesting. It will be taking place on the 29th, so it's not the Friday, it's the Thursday. And it's open to you to join it. And so let me thank André for his presentation and giving us a view on the business. And here's another piece of Høgskolen i Gjøvik.